Before I get started here, let's just say a little prayer together. Amen? So I just want you to repeat after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, open my heart to receive your word. Instruct me in the ways that I should go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You come here expecting this morning? I hope you did. I mean, every service you should come expecting to receive God's word. If you've never put a message together, sometimes it can be a little daunting. It's like, God, what do you want me to say? Pastor Barb, right? It's like, God, I'm waiting. And so sometimes it just takes that expectation, even from the body of Christ, to come and be like, you know what? I really need to be ministered in this area of my life. So I just want to encourage all of you, come expecting to receive the word that you need for your life. Amen? This is part three of your gift will be challenged before it will produce the harvest. Anybody in here interested in a harvest in your life? Well, you're going to have to go through the challenge in many ways to get there. I put a little thing on my Facebook page this week. And it said, the world doesn't need more information, it needs more wisdom. The difference between information and wisdom is wisdom comes with experience, doesn't it? Which means, you know what, I've been through, I've fought the lion and the bear, like Pastor Doug. Man, if you didn't listen to that, weren't here Wednesday, I encourage you to get online, listen to that message. But, you know, if you want to go from the pit to his presence, you're going to have to understand the pit comes with what? Challenges. It's easy to give up when you're in the pit, isn't it? It's easy just to settle for the way things are and become helpless and hopeless and all those kinds of things. But that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the fact that temptation comes in those kinds of moments. When your harvest is being challenged, I'm telling you, temptation is going to come into your life. To give up, to give in, to settle, to just allow what you're seeing and what you're experiencing to dictate what the outcome's going to be. But praise the Lord, greater is he that lives on the inside of you than the devil that's in this world. So my opening statement is, Jesus was driven to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And it says here, then Jesus was led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Is that what it says? The Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, how many people know that he is? How many people know that when the tempter comes to you and says, if you are saved, right? If you are a Christian, go ahead and command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God himself. And I'm telling you, when you're being tempted, the devil is going to use bits and pieces of scripture, right? He's going to use information instead of inspiration by the Holy Spirit to try to get you to buy into something that's just a little bit short of his will. And it says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And we're going to feature on that today. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain. He's going to take you to higher and higher places, right? Bigger and better. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give to you if you'll fall down and you'll worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and to him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. You got to understand, the devil is a being that wants to come and stop and thwart and put you in a position that is far removed from the wisdom of the Word of God. We're all Christians. We all believe in the Bible. But I promise you, if just on any subject, we polled everybody in the congregation, we said, well, you tell us what that means, we're probably going to get 100 different answers out of 100 different people. Because not everybody's willing to take the information, the logos, and go and say, you know what, I'm going to perform this word. I'm going to stand in this word, and I'm going to prove it to be true. What was interesting was as Satan continued to try to tempt Jesus, at the end of the day, Jesus just said, no, this is what the word says. And what was interesting to me as I read that is that Satan, not one time when Jesus would respond to him, did he try to argue. Did he try to persuade Jesus in another direction? Because you got to understand, the word of God is true. And it is active, and it is powerful. And if we will just take the word of God and say, you know what, it says to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't, you know, think that's what I should be doing or whatever, I'm telling you, if you'll just say, no, that's what the word of God says, I don't care if it's your business, your family, it's your job, it's whatever you're working on in your life, if you'll just begin to say, I'm not going to be tempted by the devil to do something that is contrary to the word of God, you will have the victory in every area of your life. You got to understand that everything that you can see, whether it's this pulpit or it's Pastor Barb sitting in the front row or you, it was framed and created by the Word. And so to try to get something to become something that it's not is deceptive in its nature. And that's what Satan is all about. He is the deceiver. He wants to deceive you. He wants to get you to buy into just a little bit of truth, so that he can separate you from the whole truth and keep you right where you're at all the days of your life. You want your business to change? Declare the word. You want your family to change? Declare the word. You want your financial situation to change? Declare the word of God. And don't just declare it. Don't just say it. Act it out. Put it on the table, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, and don't allow the devil to cause you to become deceived by a partial truth. That's exactly how the devil deceived Adam and Eve. He didn't come to them with a full lie. He came with a half lie. He said, don't you want to be like God? Didn't he create you in his image and likeness? Well, then why don't you just partake of the fruit? And so it's not just the piece of the word, it's the action behind it that is going to cause you to overcome in every area of your life. Now, if Jesus was tempted by the devil, do you think we are as well? Are you a Christian? Are you Christ-like? Well, I am, and I'm glad many of you are as well. So my second point is Jesus instructs us how to pray. And really, this scripture was what inspired me to put this whole message together. I woke up one morning, and I heard this, and I thought, my goodness, that is incredible. And I'll get to that in just a second. And it says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by people. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Everybody say, my room. And when you have shut the door, everybody say, shut the door. That's shutting the door to all distraction. That's shutting the door to all other options. That's shutting the door and saying, I am going to get a hold of God. Doesn't matter what anybody else in the world thinks, according to what it said, that you're not seen by people, but you're seen by God. And pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Everybody say, my secret place. We all need that secret place with God when we can just begin to say, you know what? I've had a tough week. I've had a tough day. I've had a tough month. I've had a tough year. And I am ready to get a hold of God in my secret place, in my place where nothing else, where the door is shut, and me and God are going to get alone with each other, and I may not feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps all over me, but I'm here to declare to God who I am, what I'm dealing with, and what I'm committed to doing to get out of my situation. And it says, your Father, who sees you in your secret place, will reward you in the open places. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard of their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even close the door. Before you ever walk into that secret place, he already knows what you have need of. But he needs to have you in a position where he has your attention, where the distractions of what's going on around you just don't have a place of meaning in that place. In this manner, therefore, pray. This is how Jesus instructed us to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning we bring heavenly things to earth in that secret place. Give us this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not a month from now, but give us today what we need, right? Our daily bread. Forgive us of all of our debts. Anybody in here have any debts? Whether they be things you regret, things that you have to pay for, whatever they may be. Forgive us of our debts. Who owns everything? The bank? No, the bank does not own everything. God owns everything. And if you'll learn to follow his principles in the area of your debt, meaning give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, as Pastor Barb taught you this morning. If you'll learn to do it God's way, he has a way of taking what he has and moving it into your life. And we're also to forgive those who are debtors to us, right? And do not lead us. Very interesting. Here's the scripture that I woke up with and I'm like, do not lead us into temptation. And yet Jesus was driven to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But deliver us from evil, the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Anybody in here need some forgiveness this morning? But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. What I find interesting is Jesus was driven to his secret place to be tempted by the devil. But then he comes back several chapters later and he says, do not, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I see here that God has created separation between the evil one and my temptation. You see? The devil can come. But it said in that scripture that God already knows what you have need of before you even pray. And he says, pray that you do not be tempted, but you be delivered from the power of the evil one. In that secret place, hear me, this is a place where you have liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ to overpower, to overcome the devil, overcome the evil one in your life. And I know many of you are being tormented. I felt it so strong in my heart that you're being tormented. You have fears. You have these irrational thoughts, and it's just like it just keeps going and going and going and going. I'm encouraging every single one of you under the unction of the Word of God to get into your secret place. Don't think it's a waste of time. Don't think that it's boring. Don't think that it's not, no one's going to see or care or any of those kinds of things. Get in your secret place with God. Shut the door. Lock it if you have to. Get the distractions out of your mind and begin to practice those things, not just in that moment, because how many people know you can go into your secret place anytime you choose? It's not a one-time event. Well, it's time for me once a year to go into my closet and close the door and, you know, have my time with Jesus. No, you can have that secret place with God throughout the entire day. The Bible's clear. It says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. All the thoughts that you have, all the fears of the unknown. I love the word fear because fear has an acronym. Yeah, it does. I know Kale knows it. False evidence appearing real. Next time you're in fear, remember, false evidence appearing real. It's not real. Faith is real. Faith is what will shape your life. Faith is the substance of things I hope for, the evidence, the physicality of things I cannot yet see. And that's where I'm challenging all of you this morning and challenging myself. Don't look at the way things are. Use your faith to create the way you want things to be. Create the reality. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't allow yourself to go through all the torment. I promise you, if you get in faith, if you get there, because you can't be in fear and faith at the same time. Amen? You can't. You just cannot do it. But if you'll just get to the place of faith and you'll look back, and once you get to that place in your life, it's like, man, look what God did. Look what he did. And you'll look back and you'll think, oh, I was so tormented. I was so, you know, whatever was going on in my world. You'll recognize so clearly that none of your worry, none of your fear, none of the anxiety, none of the doubting, none of any of that stuff ever did you a bit of good. It kept you in the pit, right, Pastor Doug? And out of his presence. It's important that you don't get familiar with the dirt walls that are surrounding you and thinking, this is my view. This is not your view. Your view is that you get taken up out of that pit and you go into the presence of God and you begin to become the Christ-like being that you declare yourself to be. The world should know that you're a Christian before anything else that you do. They should. And it's not like you walk around with a big, you know, Jesus sticker on your shirt or badge or whatever. It's, you know what? My life is decent. It is in order. Man, I'm in church on Sunday. I'm leading my family and others to the knowledge of the saving life of Jesus Christ. And not only do I do those things, but the evidence of God in my life is actually there. It's not because you're some great person. It's because you've learned to take the Word of God and you've begun to apply it to your life. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a second here. I'm feeling tempted to let this word go that Pastor Barb or Pastor Doug spoke, you know, on that day. Man, it really touched my heart. But now it's like, man, I don't know if I could hold on to that. We've all been there. I promise you, you've been there. The Word of God's really clear about that seeds will get sown into thorns and stony places and all that kind of thing. Your seed is not going to fall on a stony place because you're going to open your heart, you're going to get in that secret place, you're going to slam that door, and you're going to say, you know what? Self, listen up. Mind, listen up. Flesh, listen up. We're not going to settle any longer. We are going to become a vessel of God's word. And if we are to be poured out, the blessing is getting poured out. It's not the curse anymore. Some of you have children. You need to grab a hold of this. You need to cut the head of the devil off so it doesn't go on to this next generation. Whatever you're suffering with, kill it. Get it over with. Go close the door. Get yourself before God and walk out of that place and say, you know what? I'm not the same as when I went in. Praise the Lord. And you will see the mighty hand of God begin to move in your life. Here is the definition of temptation. A desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. Synonyms are desire, urge, itch, impulse, inclination, lure, allurement, enticement, seduction, drawing, pulling. Anybody ever felt any of that stuff? That's the time you shut the door. Shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. Get a hold of God. Amen. Evil. Let's see what the meaning of that is. Profound immorality, wickedness, depravity, especially when regarded as a supernatural force. Wickedness, bad, wrong, sin, immorality, iniquity, corruption, depravity, villainy. And then some really weird words that I had to actually look up. Malevolence, desiring evil of another. And nefariousness, ooh, that's a fancy word, isn't it? Breaking the law. Number three, no matter what you face, God will give you a way of escape. Anybody want to escape right now? Hallelujah, here's your key. 1 Corinthians 10, 12-13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Don't be so prideful. No temptation. Everybody say, no temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, isn't he? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to handle yourself. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to hear it. So it is clear as to what you should do. It is clear as to what you're going to commit to do. You will have a time when you are being tempted to close that door and say, you know what, God, I want to hear your will for my life. I'm not here just to get something and throw it away. I'm here to get it, to hold it, to possess it, and to walk out of this place a different person. Amen. To prove means to demonstrate the truth or existence of something. Anybody want to prove the existence of the Word of God in your life? By evidence or argument, to be true, demonstrate the truth, to show beyond a doubt. In that closed room, you better close out all doubt. Manifest, producing proof or evidence, witness to substantiate, to verify, to validate, to confirm, to have formal evidence, and to be righteous. Number five, God wants to establish you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be established. Do you want to be established? The word established means having been in existence for a long time, and therefore recognized and generally accepted, well known, recognized, esteemed, respected, famous, prominent, noted, and renowned. This is the kind of establishment that God has set up. It's been around for a long time, way before you were even a little thought in your mama and daddy's head. He knew you. And he didn't just know you as you know yourself. He knew you. A higher form of you. the all things are possible to those who believe you. And if you'll get there in your life, I promise you, you will become established. The things that you fear today will be things that you'll think, my God, what in the world was I even thinking? How did I ever doubt God in those things? But it takes time. That time in investing in that closed door, in that room, in that place of God where you're not distracted, God will prove his word in your life. My closing scripture, number 5. 1 Peter 5:6-11 This has the potential to change your life. Listen carefully. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Sounds like a secret place to me. That he may exalt you right away. That translation says in due time. Pastor Paul must have scratched that out and put right away. In due time. He says, cast all your care, some of it or all of it, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. I believe when he says he cares for you, God, he, right? Not a regular he, but a God he, right? Cares for a God-inspired you. He's not talking about the little you. He's talking about the God-inspired you. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, everybody say, I've got an adversary. The devil walks around like a roaring lion. Now, have you all seen that picture on Instagram of that dog and then they put the big mane on him? He may look like a lion, but that ain't no lion. Listen, I'll take my dog whistle out and I'll blow that thing and his ears will pop. It ain't no lion. So you got to remember that the devil's going to appear like a lion, but he is a what? A deceiver. He's deceiving you into thinking something like this is real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. That's the devil, right? Appearing like a lion. But listen, we have a real lion, and that's called the Lion of Judah, right? Jesus isn't like a lion. He is the lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. So there's instruction here. It says resist him. Most of the time we don't resist him, do we? We're just like, oh, yeah, no, gosh, if that happened, then oh, my goodness, this would happen. And if that happened, oh, my goodness. And most of what we're thinking about hasn't even been validated as true. I guarantee you, most of what you worry about has very little chance of happening. But you experience it as if it's going to happen. Resist that. Stay steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by everybody in the body of Christ and in the world. But may the God of all grace, everybody say all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a little while, you're going to have to suffer for a little while, right? After you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Have you ever settled anything? Like gotten it settled, like a debt or a whatever? I remember the first debt I ever settled. I walked into that bank and I said, I'm here to pay off that debt. This is back in the olden days. These weren't, you know, electronic funds transfers and all this nonsense. We had real cash, hallelujah, that you carried in your pocket, hallelujah. It wasn't a card or a website, hallelujah. It was real cash. You got real checks back in the day, too. You get a paycheck. Anybody in here still get a paycheck? You get a paycheck? Hallelujah. One person gets a paycheck. Oh, two. Two people. Three. Three out of all of you get a paycheck, right? Pastor Barb gets a paycheck. Hallelujah. Keep the tithes coming in. We got to keep her taken care of. Amen. Amen. But I remember walking into that bank, and I got that debt settled. I walked in. I had a little stack of cash right here in my pocket. And I walked in and I said, well, I owe this on this car, and I'd like to pay that debt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I put the money down on the thing, and they says, okay, yeah, oh, well, the interest is a little bit less because it's not a full month. Oh, hallelujah, I got a little bit of cash back. I put it back in my pocket. And guess what they gave me? The title. They gave me a receipt. And it said, paid in full. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to settle all these debts that you're carrying around, all these irrational fears, all of this stuff that's not doing you a bit of good. It's not doing anybody a bit of good. It's actually a detriment to your life. You can't be creative. You can't think straight. You can't, you know, get what you need because you're so distracted with all of the false evidence appearing real in your life. And God's given you a way of escape. It said so. And He wants to forever settle what you're dealing with in your life. Isn't that good? It's 10 o'clock here, so I'm going to close the service, but we will be up here. We will pray with you. If you have some things that you need to get settled with God, we're going to be up here at this altar, and we would be honored and privileged to pray for you. Not because we're great, it's because He's great. And He said, if you'll lay hands upon people, they will recover. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank You and praise You this morning for this opportunity to come into Your presence. I thank You for the open hearts of these people, Lord God, that they have received Your word this morning, Lord God. I thank You that no weapon formed against them can prosper. All those who are rising up against them in judgment would fall at their feet, Lord God. And I just give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen.